Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Previously on Gresh and Keith.
Yeah, what if Shime started bringing in animals?
There we go. That's what we need. Shime sitting in a blow-up hot tub full of peas, stroking a cat.
Zookeeper Shime.
This is Gresh and Keith.
I can assure you Aaron Rodgers did not want that out before the draft. It was just an accumulation of information.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate.
Andy Gresh.
The good part is if you're a New England fan, you've got your future in Mac Jones, but you've got your now in Christian Barmore.
It was a dream come true, like a blessing from God.
My girlfriend, she makes me like 10 cookies every night.
Rich Keith.
I believe Julian truly heals up. I think he'll be back. I don't see why he wouldn't be back.
Stop it. Get some help.
Gresh and Keith starts right now.
Everybody loves the booty.
Definitely not sex stuff.
On WEEI.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling that while we have a well put together structure for this show today.
Sure do.
Yeah, there's a lot of unfocused people roaming around. I mean, it's Friday.
Yes, TGIF. Yeah. Get that feeling.
It's Friday. You ain't got no job. Nope. You ain't got nothing to do. So just listen to us.
Fired on your day off.
How you get fired on your day off? Even I haven't done that.
No.
I
mean, you're always working when you get fired.
Oh, yeah, I'm always working when I get fired. Yeah, I'm always MFing someone or somebody's dog cussing me or something like that, right?
I got it.
Just like the NHL is dog cussing the New York Rangers. And, well, thank you, New York Rangers, for giving the easiest bet of probably in our show existence in 6 weeks.
We locked that in. Goal and a half, no problem. Didn't have to sweat that at all.
You had the under, you had the money line, you had the goal line. Yep. You were set last night in the Bruins 4-0 win over the Rangers, and the Rangers were about as engaged as I would say we would have been out there on the ice.
Yeah, they were done. I mean, they had their biggest game, and they didn't care about wins or losses. They were just trying to fight the Capitals the night before. They were so pissed. They've been eliminated from the playoffs, so they are playing for nothing.
Nothing.
And they left. They just emptied the tank against Washington. Then the very next night, they have to go play the Bruins. So, no, there was no chance the Rangers were going to even really be all that competitive in the game.
Yeah, it was a utter smoke show over the Garden. And the big story, the Swayman.
The Swayman, not tested much.
Okay, now,
I love Swayman, but come
I'm
on.
Glad you said that because the first thing I thought of last night when he had the shutout was, oh, it's the Rangers. But it's, hey, he's a rookie. Like, if you're going to make a statement that you should be on a playoff roster, that's how you play against a bad team. And to your point, he wasn't exactly tested.
No.
It wasn't like there was a ton of pucks in front of the net.
No.
It wasn't like he was peppered with shots that were difficult to see or anything like that. But is this performance against a team this bad a big enough of a statement for the old Swayman?
Yeah, see, I think he was already locked up being the backup in the playoffs, and maybe it's the combination of Halak missing a bunch of time, and then when he came back out, he looked kind of rusty. They lose that game in overtime. He smashes his stick. He kind of knew it was over. A couple games later, you see Swayman go out there, and even though it was only 15 saves, a shutout and a win, you're like, okay. Like that, it's the way, all right. It's the Sway, and he needs to be the backup in the playoffs.
I wonder if Halak will get a turn reading the news on the Greg Hill show here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
He's going to be available.
I mean, he will be available. There's no question. Availability has not been the issue. It's more of the selectivity of the host of that fine show, Greg Hill, and what he wants to find in someone to sit in there with J. Charles Fatstacks.
It's like you know, with your food. Very, very picky.
I am very, very particular. I'm the picky. stickiest large human on the planet. That's true. No question.
I bet Halak was watching that game last night being like, why did I not get this one? Why couldn't I get the Rangers after this? He would have had an easy shutout, too. He's got to be pissed.
The Devils tried.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I get the team that just rolled over like a golden waiting to get their belly rubbed? I mean, that's really what that was last night. It was almost boring in the third period.
It kind of was. No, it was. And so I don't know how you justify not having Swayman be your backup right now.
Yeah.
Assuming all three, four of these guys are healthy and 100% come playoff time, it seems like a no-brainer that it would just be Tuca, then Swayman. And you know what? You might not even see Swayman, and all this discussion is kind of for naught because a lot of times the starter just goes the whole way. But we've also seen where occasionally the backup gets an opportunity, whether the starter gets hurt or whether the starter is just really off his game and, playoff teams have switched. Because I remember a couple of years ago, we were kind of going over it and saying, well, once you start in the playoffs, like, that's kind of it. But then when you actually really dig into it, and, we're so focused on the Bruins, but you look around the rest of the league, you're like, no, you know what? Sometimes the backup does get a little bit of an opportunity. And so if that's going to be the case, you'd really want it to be Swayman.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of the scenarios in which Tuca would be pulled. Normally, it would be injury number one, which no one's obviously rooting for.
He could just leave.
But, well, he could just leave, right? That is, while that might be a small percent chance of that happening this year, it is something that does have to be on the list and we have to consider. But it would be more of the, okay, you're down 4-1, 10 minutes to go in the first period, and you're going to turn it over to a kid who hopefully doesn't get his confidence shattered in a situation like that, coming in a game where they might be down 4-1. Because if there's an injury, then you get the old injury replacement. And if Halak is the guy on layaway, like if Tuca tears a groin or something, then you can replace him on the roster with an injury. Right. But Swayman would probably be the guy in the event of an injury of Tuca Rask.
Yeah.
But if he's just like the guy that's on the roster right now, and you're going to bring him into the, you're going to put him on that playoff roster, he might be going into some situations that might not be very good. And is that the best thing for him? Because the only way Tuca gets, the only way Swayman gets in is if Tuca stinks. And if Tuca stinks, there might be more wrong with the team than just Tuca being bad.
But I think if you go into a game and you're replacing Tuca because the Bruins are down 3-0, well, all right, you end up losing the game 6-0, wasn't your fault. You're already down 3-0. That's how I look at it. And I think it's kind of a real shot in the arm vote of confidence if they say, hey, look, Halak is a real NHL goalie. He has started a ton of games in the NHL. He's been one of the better backups in the league the last few years. And you beat him out. You've beaten him out. You get to dress for these games. You get to play. And if you play, then we'll sort of figure it out from there. We'll figure out what the situation is. Are we down in the series? Are we just down in the game or whatever? But I think he's earned it. Like, if you're just looking at the last couple of months,
there's no doubt
he's not even close. In fact, you can make a case he's been a little bit better than Tuca, but like, that's not what you're going to do. Clearly, it's going to be Tuca in the playoffs, and I completely understand that and even agree with it. But Swayman's made them at least even consider that, I bet.
Yeah, it's a great problem to have. We've all sat around here for a couple of years now praising that Juro Halak is on this roster, and what a luxury. And now it's an even bigger luxury to think that that guy might be the dude that you say, okay, you're not on the roster, but go stay sharp. We'll fire pucks at you every day. We'll keep you going in practice, and hopefully he doesn't end up losing it mentally. And I'm talking about Juro Halak. By the way, this hour, Gresh and Keith, brought to you by Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros at needco.com. Frenchy Cordero,
my guy.
Oh, the Sox were hot yesterday.
Here's a line drive into left field. That's a base hit. JD comes to third. He's going to be waved home by Carlos Fables. Swinging a little looper into shallow center field. Racing in on it to Jones. He will not get there. JD comes home. It's another two-strike hit for Bogarts. Pitch. Swinging a ground ball up the middle into center field. A base hit. Verdugo scores. Coming to third is Martinez. He is waved home.
Swinging a hot shot up the middle. It hits over second base into center field. Two runs will score. Christian Vasquez throws a mask away. Calling in front of home plate. Fair ground. Makes the catch and the Red Sox win it.
Lots of runs, lots of unearned runs scored yesterday over at Fenway Park, 12-9. It was really batting practice for about the first five innings on both sides.
A bit, yeah. And what was it, six total errors in the game, too, on top of it? I mean, it was the cleanest game that you've ever seen.
But I'll tell you what. We were out drinking night before game when in reality, they were just up late playing baseball in the rain.
I have what can really only be considered the magic touch because I ripped Nick Ritchie at the start of the season. He somehow has run into 14 goals.
Uh-huh.
I ripped Garrett Richards. He went out there and spun a gem the next day.
And got a Twitter account.
I said Franchi Cordero shouldn't even be on the Major League roster. He comes into the game and gets three hits, just rips three hits. And he didn't even start the game. You know, he replaces Kiki Hernandez, and he went in there and had his best game by far in a Red Sox uniform. And I'll give Merlone credit. Lou was on the broadcast yesterday, and he was talking about how sometimes for a guy who's really scuffling, and even somebody who's not an everyday player, and let's face it, Franchi Cordero was really struggling. He struck out about half the time that he's been up, and a good sample, too. He's close to 60-plus at-bats, or by now it's over 60-plus at-bats. He strikes out almost half the time. But Lou said, sometimes when you're not supposed to be in the lineup, and then all of a sudden you get thrown into the lineup because of an injury, all right, now you can't really think about it. You can't stress out about it. You can't get in your head. And he went up there and scored a run, first of all, and sort of, all right, now you're in the game. And then he gets three hits. And I don't think anybody, I thought it would take another month for him to get, or 2 months to get three hits, let alone all happened yesterday afternoon.
And there was the hit in the eighth where he was safe on the old fielding error.
Right.
I mean, it was a good day for Franchi Cordero.
One
that was necessary, not only from the individual standpoint, but from the team standpoint as well. They had to find a way to keep scoring runs yesterday. 12-9 was the final. And, I mean, we know that the Tigers are terrible.
Horrible.
And the Red Sox, I mean, yeah, Eovaldi was not great. It was six earned on seven hits in 4 1/3. At least he only threw 79 pitches. So it wasn't one of those, you know, 102-pitch outings.
Coming out in the fifth, like, that's sort of the bar that I think we've all kind of gotten to where you're like, all right, five innings, you're not asking a ton at all because the bullpen's also been pretty good. So now you go five, maybe even six. You feel like the bullpen can probably hang on and get the win. So if one of your guys who's supposed to be your second best starting pitcher, he gets rocked around and he's out in the fifth inning, like thankfully the Red Sox bats showed up in this series. Otherwise, it could have been pretty ugly. You know, they kind of bailed him out. The pitchers won those games against the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, what's going on with the lineup? Because not that you would have just lost your mind about, you know, losing 2 out of 3 to Detroit in May, but the reality is this is a horrible team, maybe the worst team in the American League. You're not going to face them a ton because they're not in your division. So you kind of need to capitalize on these games. You need to win them. So thankfully they came back. And another game in which they were losing and came back and won. They've done that a lot this year.
I was going to say, I wonder what that number is because we know that number could be a little, I guess, flighty in that, like if you're down a bunch in the third inning and you come back and win the game, you get credit for it. If you examine it and look at how many times they've been down, maybe heading into the sixth inning, there have been a lot of times where tied or down in the sixth, to your point, Keith, that they have come back. There are two great qualities about this team, I think. One, it looks like they like each other.
Yep.
The whole home runs, we're going to shove them in the cart and push them and everybody laugh and have some fun.
Yeah.
And they're resilient and they bounce back. Right now, early on, as we start to hit that, you know, we're pushing what the 40 game or the quarter pole of the regular season. To me, those are the two most important things with this group because we know the pitching's going to be up and down. We know the bullpen's going to have their hiccups. But if they can stay together and keep having fun even when they do hit the skids, because it is going to happen. Every team in Major League Baseball goes through it, but is this team good? I don't worry about this team packing it in mentally anymore.
No, I don't think so at all. And I think they got a pretty good group, and Cora was adamant about that at the beginning of the season. And we're like, all right, well, you know, we'll see. But they've already shown you a variety of ways to win. Like I think like that is a great part of this team is everything doesn't need to be going their way to win.
That's right.
Like they can be losing even to a bad team, and if they need to score four runs in the eighth, they can do that.
They have great spirit. So,
they got whatever it is, the fight, whatever you want to call it.
The spirit, the fighting spirit.
No, but they do. They have that. And they've shown a variety of different ways to win, right? Like just in the last week, they win a game 12-9. The winning game was a one zip. Like they've won in a variety of ways. And they also have, it's not like you have all these guys playing way above their head, because Bogarts is a great player. Martinez is a great hitter. You know, like Devers and Verdugo and, you know Eddie Rodriguez. Like, they have guys who are pretty good. He played over his head for one game. But I'm saying, like, overall, it's not like, hey, can this guy keep up what would be like a career pace? It's like, no, like, these, it's kind of what these guys are. Some will get a little bit better in the second half. Some will get a little bit worse. But I think it'll sort of level off to a team that I still think will be, at this point now, fighting for whether it's the division or that second wild card spot. It feels like they're going to be playing games that matter all season. And that was, to me, the biggest question going in, is are we going to be looking at August and September and we're like, when's the Pats preseason game start? Like, are we going to be talking about that, or are we going to be saying, hey, the Red Sox are two games up in the division? Like, that's a big difference.
I have faith that, yeah. And if you look across Major League Baseball, there's a couple of teams that are really bad, but overall, everybody is just kind of hanging around 500 at this point. No one's really separated necessarily one way or another. 1017 here with Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network and, of course, WEEI.com, Odyssey.com. We will be doing 3T later today. For those of you who don't know 3T, you're joining us on Twitch, right? There's the Twitch chat that Scheim is kind of moderating in there, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, on Twitter at Gresh Keefe. And via the text 37937, we just put it all together. And at 1:30, we'll see how you've been interacting with the show. And Scheim, I am going to steal one from the text, because the 207 says, Rich, can you rip Bobby Dahl back? Maybe that'll get him going.
Guy sucks. The guy's absolutely killing him right now. Right? He's useless. Yeah, that should be a 3-home run game tonight.
Yeah. Where's Jeremy Giambi when I need him?
Yeah, he has been disappointing, because there was a little bit of, like, could this guy be in the rookie of the year mix? Like, when you're looking at some of the guys in the American League and you looked at the spring that he had, you were hoping for it. But and I think, to Cora's credit, they put him at the bottom of the lineup. And they're like, all right, there should be no pressure down there. But, yeah, he sucked. Another 0-for-4 performance yesterday. Struck out twice.
Two strikeouts.
He's hitting a buck 74.
Like, with the strikeouts, it looks like he's lost at times up there.
Yeah. So, yeah, he sucks. So, hopefully that works.
There you go. So, you've been Keefed, and we will take it from there.
Monster weekend for Dahlback.
Now, the Celtics have a couple of games left here in the end of the regular season. So, tonight it is against the Bulls, and boy, were we wrong on the Bulls making a bit of a run, right? They go get Vucevic at the trade deadline.
I thought it was a great deal.
They've done nothing.
Nothing. And he's still, I believe, putting up like 22-12. Like, he's doing what you thought, but they just have fallen apart.
He's now become the guy who was putting up numbers on a really bad team to just putting up numbers on a bad team.
Right. He moved up slightly in the standing, doing the same thing, but it's not really equating to winning at all. So, yeah, like, back a week ago, we took a look at the remaining schedule for the Celtics, and it was easy. You're like, if they want to be a top six team in the conference, it's right there for them. It's not like they have all these games against Milwaukee and Brooklyn and Philly and Denver. Like, they don't. They're playing bad teams, and this is another one here tonight. And then you're going to have your make-or-break two-game set there with Miami, which that could very well determine whether you are in the play-in tournament or you are in the real tournament.
So, do the playoffs start tonight for the Celtics? Because in my opinion, they do. They have to approach this as if this is now playoff basketball. If we would like to get into the 6 seed or the 5 seed, and they probably can't even get into the 5, somebody would probably have to tank the rest of the way for them to be able to get up that high. But if you want to stay out of that damn play-in tournament, then you have to treat these like playoff games. And by the way, that starts with the head coach. And I know they're blowing Orlando out. But we're not ping-ding-a-linging around with putting Taco in a game tonight. With all due respect to Taco Fall,
you know, how much is that? I can't even do the math. I mean, it's like 50 bucks.
But
this is also a team that lost to Oklahoma City like a week ago.
I want the sense of urgency tonight. Really what I'm calling for is treat it like a playoff game, because it is a playoff game. If they really, I guess it's this, Rich. To the point, it's a little bit off what the point you just made. If they, like, show us you don't want to be in the play-in tournament.
Right.
Like, show us that you at least have enough pride to avoid being a part of that tournament and putting yourself in jeopardy. If they do that, it at least gives us a little bit of hope and a boost going into the postseason, considering, like you said, this was a group that last week lost to just awful Oklahoma City.
Yeah, because the play-in tournament is such a crapshoot where you could play Charlotte in the first game, and Charlotte has been a team that, you know, they got you even without a couple of their best players not that long ago. They beat you. And if they get a little bit healthier, they beat you. And then as bad as Washington is, Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, they have one great game. Like, they wouldn't beat you in a seven-game series, but nope. One game, yep. They could definitely beat you. So right now, the Celtics and the Heat have the exact same record. And I guess the Celtics have the tiebreaker, whatever that is. I don't know if it's conference record or whatever. No, but they're ahead of them in the standings.
No,
you
know, I know.
They have the same record.
Mind-numbing schlock.
So they're sixth, Miami seventh. They have two games with them coming up. So the final six games for the Celtics are, I agree with you, all important. Chicago, Miami, Cleveland, Minnesota, New York. That's a really easy schedule. Yeah, New York's a playoff team. Miami's a playoff team. But those other three teams are done. They're done for the year.
Done.
They've packed it in completely. No Jaylen Brown tonight. But it does sound like he'll be available Sunday against Miami, which is good. So that injury, which we weren't really sure what to think when they collided with each other against Portland, looks like he may only miss two games, which is pretty good. And Tatum didn't miss any. So that's kind of promising. And obviously Kemba looked really good last game. So, yeah, I mean, it should be important to them. This isn't like, we'll just kind of cruise in, because there turns out there's a lot at stake. And I know a lot of guys don't like to play in tournament. LeBron hates it. Luka Doncic hates it. Mark Cuban hates it. It's funny, Danny Ainge was kind of non-committal. Danny Ainge was asked recently about the play-in tournament, and he was like, it's good. I like the old way.
Yeah.
But it's good. Yeah, like, he did not want to be the headline like Mark Cuban was. But you could tell he doesn't like it either, but you can't change anything.
If he was being honest, he would say, what seed are we?
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's like LeBron.
Five or six, we're good.
If I'm a five,
seven, eight, you're losing your mind.
That is exactly right.
That's it.
By the way, as I'm looking at the old Sportsbook Rhode Island app right now, Celtics are -4. They're -180 on the old money line. That seems a little thin. I wonder if some of that is related to the who will or won't be in and out of the lineup.
Yeah,
like Robert Williams is day-to-day
questionable
still.
Yeah.
And Tristan Thompson, again, don't even get me going on that guy. And then Romeo Langford.
I think he's your favorite player. I think we got to get you a Tristan Thompson jersey. I think that might be your guy.
Oh, my God. That guy just tried. Like, I watched Extra again last night.
Everybody loves the booty.
They do.
Why were you watching Extra?
Well, because it was on. And plus, I wanted to see if there was Tristan Thompson
news. Don't you control
news.
What's on, though?
Yeah, 100%, John. Oh, you have a little remote.
No.
Some of them are voice activated.
No. I have a wife and two kids. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're fourth in the pecking order there.
Of course.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, you know what I did? And, it pisses them off.
What
it's
do you
great.
Do? You hide the remote?
No, I downloaded the remote.
Oh,
so I could sit there on my phone, smart. And they were watching something last night, and I just flipped it to the Bruins game. And I go, I hear the, what the hell just happened?
You're like,
and
well,
then
Bruins are playing.
My 16-year-old, we haven't gotten to the whole vandalizing of my Wikipedia page at one point.
Oh, boy.
But there was a
is he
reference.
In charge of that?
No, oh. But he, you know what he did, though? So he calls me Ed because as my Wikipedia page got vandalized, there somebody wrote that I was the champion of an over 30 underground sumo league in Warwick, Rhode Island, and I went by the name Fat Eddie. So now my 16-year-old has called me Ed or Eddie.
You meet your 16-year-old would get along great.
Yeah, there's a ton of detail in that.
Chimes in that league too.
Oh, but some of the stuff they put
the
on
first
there,
runner up.
Yeah. Over 30, no. So Shime's ineligible.
Shime's not in there yet.
Shime's in the 20 to 30 league.
Give me
there.
Another year. I'll be there.
Right. That's right. There you go.
You're on your way.
But my days of being a sumo, I'm no longer a Yokozuna in that underground league anymore.
Yeah. I think you tested out.
But anyway, when I flip the channel, all of a sudden I just hear from the other side of the room, Ed, like, what are you doing? And there you go. So there's another one to throw on the pile.
All right.
617-779-7937. We're going to have a little bit of fun today. There's a interesting little twist on the Aaron Rodgers story that we will get to. Will Fleming at 11:30. They first had to have some fun with Will.
And, as Sean McDonough calls him, Flemball.
I have a funny feeling we're going to do about 3.5 minutes of Red Sox baseball and then just jack around the whole time.
Probably.
With Will.
Yeah.
He seems like the kind of guy that
it'll be good.
That we can do that with. We got your seven playoff teams in the AFC. People are aghast at something that Adam Schefter said. And our own John Anderson, if we pump the hell out of the Shime columns on WEEI.com.
Mock draft.
Sorry.
He does a mock draft every year.
He only does one.
The biggest one a year.
That's it.
He does one of your...
I also do an occasional column, but it's very rare.
Column?
Well, there was that one time he took to the written word to clap back at something Rich said on the show, except Sean did it off the show.
Oh, what are you doing? I mean...
Well, because I had so much information that Rich never would have let me get it out, so I had to write it down.
If a tree falls in the woods, Crash.
I was supporting Jacoby Myers to my death.
Oh, just like Mac Myers Jones. Fan. Well, there might be a producer fight in there.
There's
because...
going to be. There's different ends of the Mac Jones spectrum
yeah,
over there.
Yeah, because John's got a little column on WEEI.com on Mac Jones' chances for Rookie of the Year. We will get to that at high noon. We got some Red Sox tickets to give away. And, of course, the three T's. We want you contributing to this show via the Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI or WEEI.com/watch. 37937 on the text. And, of course, on Twitter, at Gresh Keefe. Let's trend.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
On EEI.
Marshawn with the head fake to Bergeron. He scores!
Jake DeBrusk all the way in and scores! Jake DeBrusk scores for the first time in 13 games. Carlo down to the goal line and scores! Marshawn to McAvoy, top corner. And Jeremy Swayman has his second NHL shutout. He becomes only the third goalie in Bruins history to have seven or more wins in his first nine starts.
Double-breasted Jack Edwards on the call right there from Nesson. It was an easy one for the Boston Bruins last night against the down-and-out New York Rangers. Boy, they're ready for vacation.
Yeah, they've had a tough few days here.
Yeah, we will we'll get to the Rangers and the NHL and how the NHL is really sticking it to them now after the statement that the Rangers put out against, what's his name, George Peros?
Yeah, George Peros, director of player safety.
Yeah, there's now all these stories on, you didn't know who George Peros was? Well, yeah. Now you do. Read about him. He sucks at his job. Basically, is really what those
Pretty
are.
Much. Yep.
So how about an approach for the Bruins these next couple of games here, Rich? And it's interesting because the games in hand are now a factor for the Boston Bruins, right? The Penguins have played 55. The Caps and the Bees are both at 53. The Islanders, who are 3 points behind the Bruins and on their schedule, are at 54 games.
Right.
So everybody's in that little neighborhood where they're kind of wrapping everything up. For those who don't know, the Bruins will play the Rangers again on Saturday. Then they play the Islanders on Monday. And then it's the Capitals on Tuesday. So I ask you, is it more about rest, given the way this team has played the last, well, since the deadline? Or is it about the seeding and you got to go for it the next three games?
I don't think the seeding matters. I don't. I've kind of gone back and forth on that a little bit, but you're going to have to play these teams regardless. And also, you can only control so much because there's still going to be movement ahead of you. If you look at the standings right now, it's still pretty jumbled where the Penguins have a 2-point lead on the Capitals, but as you just laid out, the Capitals have played two fewer games. So you don't even know who the number one seed's going to be. And yeah, the Islanders are sitting there at 68 points. So they're probably, again, 3 points back of the Bruins. They'll probably be the four. But no matter what you do, you're like, oh, we want to make sure we're the three seed to avoid Washington or avoid Pittsburgh. Well, they could flip. And then you do all that work for what? So I don't, and you're going to have to play them in the next round anyway. So is there really a team out of this group that you are desperately want to avoid? I don't think so.
Well,
I really don't.
Does home ice factor in? Because if you're the one or the two in the division, then obviously, you know, you got the ability to claim home ice.
And
I know that we don't have massive crowds yet.
No, you don't. And that's, so that takes a little bit. You still want home ice. I heard Sean Corrali on with the Greg Hill Show, was it yesterday, saying just that. Like, obviously, you still want home ice. Like, whether there's 100%, 25%, or even nobody. Like, it's just everything about it, you'd rather have home ice. I get it, but I don't think, and they're not going to do this anyway. It's not like you're going to run Tuca out every single game the rest of the way or play their guys like heavy minutes. Like, you don't need to do that. You just want to be right. And it's a similar conversation that I feel like the Patriots always have or always used to have. How much do you play week 17? Like, do you want these guys to be rusty? Do you want them to be rested?
That's
like,
about where we're at with this group.
It feels similar to that, but I like them. I like them so much that I'll take my chances against anybody. So as long, whatever they think, whatever Bruce Cassidy deems is right to have them clicking on all cylinders for game one.
In Bruce, we trust you're going?
I am at this point. Well, because I think some of the guys might be a little bit different. Some of the guys might benefit from a little bit more rest, right? Like maybe a Tuca. But then some of the other guys, maybe they're still trying to find what their, and I know we'll get into this at some point, like what their ideal lineup even is, like try to figure out what the health is. Like, does a guy need to get a couple games back, or does he benefit from resting? Like, it's probably not just one singular thought process. Like, hey, we're going to rest everybody or we're going to play everybody. I think you sort of pick and choose here.
I would agree. I think what throws a monkey wrench into it, too, is you got 3 and 4 nights. So you're going to play Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, and kind of jamming in these games in the end of the regular season. And this is where the schedule came into play and canceled games and all that whatnot.
Yeah.
But that's the, I think there's a little like convergence of the whole, well, we've been playing really well. We don't want to sort of ruin the momentum that we have. However, we don't want to expose anybody and put them out there to get them, you know, a higher risk of injury. You want to take care of your people. So there is that delicate balance. And you're right. Tuca ain't going to play all these.
No, but he's probably going to play one more, right?
All right, but let me ask you this, though. If you have a,
or maybe,
you
know, two.
Well, let's say the game against the Capitals, right? The way that is shaping up, it could shape up to where Bruins and the Capitals' last game of the regular season could be for home ice in a series between the two.
So,
and
then,
that's where I wonder, okay, how do they really view that? Is it we have to, because all these teams on home ice, Keith, like, the Penguins are 21-4-2 at home. They've been maybe the best team in the, well, I was going to say the East, but there is no like East-West this year.
It's the Eastern Division. Yeah.
Exactly. Everything is all kind of jumbled, but they've been one of the more dominant teams at home, along with like Colorado and and Carolina's been really good at home. So I wonder if there is that thought process for some of those other teams. And then it's the, all right, if Tuca's going to play one, which of the three is he going to play, and does the importance of the game in the standings matter?
It does seem like for Pittsburgh and the Islanders, home ice is more important.
Agreed.
Like when you look at like the Islanders, it's kind of night and day. The Islanders are almost like what the Philadelphia 76ers were a year ago, where they are two different teams. They're like they're unbelievable at home and not so much on the road. But yeah, that one's interesting because they're going to wrap up the regular season with the Capitals, and they very well could be getting set for a 7-game series against them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what do you really do? Are you going to empty the tank for home ice, or are you just going to sort of stick with your with whatever your game plan is? And then there's also a chance that that game may not matter at all. And then, like, what do you
do? Well, there you go.
Then you're just kind of, like, skating it out there. And you're like, all right, who wants to go? Vladder, you're in net.
Who's Washington's AHL team? I don't even know.
I don't know. Bring them up.
Providence against, Bridgeport or something like that, right?
That could be
guys out there.
That could be a really weird one. Or maybe, you know, you give Swayman. I think, like, with Tuca, he made the comment the other day, like, yeah, you know, I'll do whatever they want, but, you know, less is more. Like, for him, as far as, like, he doesn't feel like he needs to play all these games to be ready to go. And I'm sure there are maybe some of the veteran guys that might apply to, but then some of the young guys, or even guys, you know, that they acquired, as good as Hall and Lazar and Riley have been, it's still not a ton of games in a Bruins uniform. So I would think any kind of, and you know, a few more minutes just together is probably beneficial for them.
I have no worry on the forwards. It's much more those back end guys.
Right.
And then, so there are three goalies that are going to, do you think it, Halak gets one, Swayman gets one, Rask gets one down the stretch? Three games left, each goalie gets one?
Or
does Swayman get two and you give Tuca time off?
I wonder if it goes Rask, Swayman, Rask to end the season. And then you jump into the playoffs that way. Or maybe Rask plays a little bit in that final game. Because, again, we don't know. It could mean home ice. It might mean nothing.
Does Halak get another one?
I don't think so. I think
really?
Halak's done. Yeah, I think Halak. I think Halak's
because I figured if Halak's getting another one, don't you think it would be tomorrow afternoon against the Rangers, considering that team is...
No, I think he said Rask already doing it. Didn't
Cassidy said yesterday that Rask will be starting
tomorrow. Rask is in tomorrow. Well, because think about it. Rask last played on Monday. So you had the Halak game, then the Swayman game. So you don't want to freeze the guy out.
No,
either,
but
so.
I figured you might use him Monday against the Islanders,
I think that'll be Swayman. I'm telling you, I really don't think Halak plays
gets another
again.
One.
I think that was it. I think that was also maybe why he was so fired up after they lost.
Because
he kind of knew. This is it. I'm done.
Download the Gresh and Keefe podcast and subscribe to it. Right? It's right on your phone. All you got to do, go in, boom. You look from the podcast, Gresh
and
Keefe. There you go. It's so easy to have it downloaded right to the device of your choice. And, of course, you can get them on weei.com, Odyssey.com. Quickly, the Rangers have had a player suspended now for a high stick. So the Rangers in the last like 72 hours have issued a statement against this George Parros guy who people couldn't pick out of a lineup. He's the director of player safety. So that didn't go well. Then
they got fined $250,000 for it.
The president and the GM get fired. Right. Then the fine gets announced, and they're like, no, 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 that had nothing to do with it. They elevate Chris Drury, and then now a player gets suspended. And
well, they had like 10 fights against Washington because Tom Wilson only got a $5,000 fine for taking Panarin out for the year.
Unbelievable.
I know it's only a couple weeks, but whatever, for the year. And they lose that game. They lose a bunch of those fights. And then all in there was a high stick, and then that guy gets popped a game.
He gets a game. I mean.
Oh, yeah, they're basically like if they could relegate the Rangers, they would. If they could kick them out of the league, they would.
And normally I would not say or be sticking up in any way, shape, or form for a Jim Dolan-owned team because that guy is one of the biggest idiots in sports. He is the proverbial lucky sperm club. Got lucky handed to him. He's run those teams into the ground.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Rangers, the NHL is really sticking it to the Rangers.
It's they
like,
are.
Hey, Jim, don't let your people get out of line ever again.
Uh-huh.
And you know what's going to happen? John Davidson's going to get a job on TV, and the first thing he's going to do is rip George Parros. You mark my words. He's going to be a part of that ESPN or TNT crew. Coming up, Adam Schefter admits something that some of us have known all along, but has caused outrage, I guess we'll discuss next.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith.
Send nudes
on WEEI.
There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. And I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. It's a grind just to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks.
Aaron Rodgers, after the NFC Championship game, in deep thought.
Yes.
Because that's Aaron Rodgers. He'll think deeply. He'll love fast. And he'll throw his GM under the bus.
Yeah, he'll do that a little bit. But that led to a lot of speculation right after the NFC Championship game that he might be done in Green Bay. And then it kind of went away because the Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson stuff took over. And then all like the lead up to the draft and everything. But there was a little bit of like, oh, could Aaron Rodgers be young maybe? Because we thought there was the opportunity for Adam Schefter even thought 18 quarterbacks could change teams. Or there could be 18 different starting quarterbacks next year. And, you know, the list was pretty flimsy, I would say. Some were obvious.
Tom Brady could retire.
Well, right. Some were obvious. Like, some were, like, clearly they were going to go, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, Sam Darnold's going to be on a different team. Like, got it. But then there were others, like Ben Roethlisberger, I think, was on that list. You're like, all right, well, he's still there. But Aaron Rodgers was one of those guys, and it sort of was kind of hot and cold over the last couple of months.
So Adam Schefter went on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday. Of course, ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, who has appeared on these airwaves before. I think what you're about to hear, I'm curious what the reaction will be in 3T from the Twitch chat and text at 37937 and, of course, on Twitter at Gresh Keefe. Because I don't think this is massive. But then again, I didn't exactly hear this whole thing. So here is an exchange between Adam Schefter and Dan Patrick on Adam Schefter breaking, quote-unquote, the Aaron Rodgers story during the NFL draft.
This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And if we go back to the NFC Championship game that the Green Bay Packers lost at home, did we not hear Aaron Rodgers after that game talk about his level of unhappiness, if you will, uncertainty for the future? Just go back and listen to that press conference, and it sounds almost like he's saying goodbye to Green Bay. And so your antenna's up, and I'm just telling you throughout the course of the offseason, there was rarely a week that went by where I didn't hear something about Aaron Rodgers. And on draft day, there's a report that morning from Paul Allen out in Minneapolis that the 49ers made a draft offer, which they didn't make an offer. They never made an offer. And other people are saying that the 49ers called. And I said, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants that agreement? Is it next week? Is it next when he doesn't show to the OTAs? Is it next month when he isn't? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month?
All right, so there's Shefty saying there were some rumblings there.
So, yeah, there was, but that's also, and again, for better or worse, I feel like we do have this discussion a lot. Adam Schefter has a lot of power when it comes to the league and when it comes to, you know, getting attention. And a lot of times when you follow a local team, he'll sometimes report something that we've already known about locally and discussed it, and then a week later, he says it, and it's like breaking news. And we're like, yeah, we already knew this here, but he does it sort of at a national level. I'm kind of surprised. You think ESPN wanted, I mean, I guess all eyeballs are good eyeballs, but do you think they wanted, the draft kind of got hijacked on Thursday, I thought. The first round of the NFL draft was all the discussion leading up to it anyway, was Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and breaking down all these guys. Oh, who's going to move up and who's going to move down? That's what we were doing for weeks leading up to it. And then all of a sudden, with no real new information, just sort of like, yeah, I'm going to put this out here now. I'm kind of surprised that ESPN even let him do that.
Well, your antenna got up off that comment.
Yeah.
Same for Dan Patrick, right, who lived in the belly of the beast in ESPN.
Yeah.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, and there was nothing that morning that came in that all of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talking. I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be drafted.
Because I wondered when you said it didn't come from Rodgers, didn't come from the Packers, and it's being characterized differently. I was wondering, okay, you're not going to tell me your source. You know, what was the motive behind that? Yeah.
Damn, there's not a source.
No, no, I know, but I know that now, but we're just finding this out right now.
I said it on NFL Live. I said it on my podcast. I said it. I don't know. People want to believe whatever they want to believe. It was just an accumulation of information throughout the course of the entire offseason.
He gets angry and defensive, doesn't he?
This is where ESPN has, in a way, done Schefter wrong, and Schefter has done himself wrong. Adam Schefter should not be on shows giving opinion. Everything he says is taken as news.
We 100%.
He can't separate opinion and news and then start to get all fussy butt about it whenever someone says, oh, well, this, and then it's the, well, I didn't report this. We've dealt with this here with this guy, right?
The Garoppolo stuff was one of the biggest topics for a while, and he was out in front of it. And I know, you know, he joins the Greg Hill show every once in a while, and I know he and Wiggy sometimes butt heads because,
yeah, boy,
you're like, is this your opinion? Like, you unfortunately are in a position now where nobody cares about your opinion. And if you do say something, we assume that it's sourced. Mm-hmm. That's like, it's not one source, not one source. All right, well, you've heard from a lot of people that it's multiple sources, even better, that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be there. I'm just surprised, like, if you're going to just wake up one day and put that out there, I'm surprised you would do it on draft day, to be honest. And if not, why not do it earlier? If this is all stuff that you had heard earlier, why not put that out there? Because, again, whatever he says, like, these big trending NFL topics are usually something that start from an Adam Schefter tweet. I mean, more often than not.
Absolutely. And I know some folks will find this hard to believe, but all of the reporters that are out there, quote unquote reporters, and even people who sit in chairs like we do. I got yelled at once for using the phrase operating with knowledge.
Yeah.
Sometimes people who give opinions are operating with knowledge that they're not going to report, but it allows them to shape their opinion.
Well, they're also
Adam
all being
Schefter
used.
Doesn't get that. Adam no. Schefter doesn't get. He's a news guy.
Yeah.
So even if he is operating with knowledge, it can't go in the form of an opinion because then people say, well, Adam Schefter said blah, blah, blah. And if he just says it, people then think it's news. And
right.
And like all these guys, people like, if you don't think these NFL people aren't sitting on information that they know, but they either A, don't want to report it, B, can't report it, or C, can't really verify it enough to report it, you're nuts.
Yeah,
you're nuts. This is the game they play.
Schefter doesn't have millions of followers, or Adrian Wojnarowski has millions of followers for like their opinion.
There's
like, what
another
do you guys think
guy.
About this? Is yep. this? No, no, no. Or if you want to say opinion, it needs to be a sourced opinion,
yep,
or a reason for thinking this way. And like that's sort of the nature of the business. There's a guy or two in each sport that you look to and you say, they're not just throwing stuff against the wall. Like they're just too tied in.
I'm with you, and it's become the analysis society, mm-hmm, and you want the news people in on that too, but it doesn't do them any well, you know? Like when they turn to John Keller to talk about politics, you're doing it with Keller, right? You're not doing it with your news anchor because it puts them in a tricky spot. So I mean, there was a major kerfluffle over this, and I didn't even know if there really needed to be one. Coming up, who are the 7 playoff teams in the AFC? Keefe and I will give you our list and maybe a look back before I got here. Your 25 minutes of uninterrupted sports talk next.